The Mundus Imaginalis, Module 4, Approaching the Images. The world of imagination is coloured with pictures, images, events, places and people. This rich world of fantasy presents to us senses in which we are the masters of our own destiny, the captain of our ship, and allows us to experience grand adventures, adoring audiences and passionate embraces. Here Jung warns us, as a rule, there is a marked tendency simply to enjoy this interior entertainment and leave it at that. Then, of course, there is no real progress, but only endless variations on the same theme, which is not the point of the exercise at all. Active imagination differs from passive fantasy through the act of bringing consciousness to the process. All the images arising in the active imagination hold important information for you. But without conscious participation, these images are simply a passive fantasy. It is consciousness, the ego then, that approaches the images that have arisen, seeking to understand the meaning behind the symbolic content, and in this way, discovering the personal meanings that the images hold for you. At this stage of the process, consciousness, the ego, takes the lead, and we turn our attention towards finding our personal associations with the images, events and people that we encounter in the active imagination. Identifying the images. An active imagination may contain people, animals, places, objects, symbols, colors, sounds and dialogue, and each of these is an image that holds important information and meaning from the unconscious. To uncover the meaning contained in the active imagination, we need to unpack it, examining each image on its own to discover what the unconscious is trying to convey, what the hidden meaning and messages for your life may be. The first step then is to identify all the images. Begin by dividing a piece of paper into two columns. In the left column, identify and write down each image. Let's take a look at an active imagination and work through this process together. The active imagination. I am a black swan swimming on a lake. I look down into the lake, seeing my own reflection. As I look up, I see a group of black swans. One of the swans swims towards me and our necks arch so that our heads touch, forming a heart shape. After a few moments, we lift our heads and swim towards the group of swans. I expect to join them, but instead we swim ahead of them and they follow. Suddenly the scene shifts and I am a woman standing on the banks of the lake, watching the swans swim towards me. I am dressed in a long white robe. Behind me, slightly to the left, is a man, also dressed in a long robe, and behind him a group of people. I think of them as villagers. They are all watching the scene unfold. The two black swans swim to the edge of the lake and I go forward to greet them, realizing that I am a druid priestess being initiated. I place my hand on the heads of the two swans. As I move my hands away, I catch a glimpse of a symbol on the palms of my hand, and I turn my palms towards the sky. A shaft of light from the symbol on my hands shoots into the sky, a continuous pillar of light, and my initiation is complete. I am now a druid priestess. This is the end of the act of imagination. Before looking for your personal associations, expand on the act of imagination and think about, where was the active imagination set? Do you know this place, or does it remind you of any place that you know? What does it remind you of? What does it make you think of? How does it make you feel? Do you know the people in your active imagination? Or do they remind you of anyone you know? What is your relationship to this person? How would you describe this person? What did you see? What does it remind you of? What does it make you think of? How do you feel in your active imagination? When have you felt like this before? What does it remind you of? What were you thinking? What feeling do you have about this image? What words or ideas come to mind when you look at it? What is the overall mood of the active imagination? Is there a conflict or a paradox? Is the conflict or paradox resolved? And if so, how? Once you have explored the active imagination scene and setting, start to focus on the individual symbols and images. In this active imagination, we have the following images: black swan, lake, bank, sky, druid priestess, white robe, male figure, villagers, palm of hands, symbol on hands, pillar of light, initiation. Associations. Once we have written down the main images in the left-hand column, we can move our attention to the right column, and next to each image, we begin by finding the associations to the image. What is an association? An association is any word, idea, mental picture, feeling or memory that pops into your mind when you look at the image in the active imagination. It is anything that you spontaneously connect with the image. Usually every image will have several associations. Associations can either be subjective, objective, or archetypal. Subjective associations refers to your feelings, thoughts, memories, beliefs, and opinions about the image. For example, let's take the image from the active imagination we are looking at. Let's say the swan. Your subjective associations may be that a swan is graceful and beautiful, or that it is territorial and aggressive. Objective associations refers to what the thing is in and of itself. Returning to the image of swan, an objective association is that the swans are comfortable in three different elements. They are able to swim in water, fly in the sky, and walk on land, making them equally comfortable in all three elements. They mate for life, and so on. Archetypal associations refers to a universal pattern or motif, and here we turn to stories, legends, and myth to find our associations. Finding the archetypal associations is referred to as amplification, but more about that in the next module. We begin finding associations from our personal, that is our subjective, associations. Why begin with personal associations? Here Jung tells us. Two different individuals may have almost exactly the same dream. Yet if, for instance, one dreamer is young and the other is old, the problem that disturbs them is correspondingly different, and it would be obviously absurd to interpret both the same way. An example that comes to my mind is a dream in which a group of young men are riding on horseback across a wide field. The dreamer is in the lead and he jumps a ditch full of water, just clearing the hazard. The rest of the party falls into the ditch. Now, the young man who first told me this dream was a cautious, introverted type. But I also heard the same dream from an old man of daring character who had lived an active and enterprising life. At the time he had this dream, he was an invalid who gave his doctor and nurse a great deal of trouble. He had actually injured himself by his disobedience of medical instructions. It was clear to me that this dream was telling the young man what he ought to do, but it was telling the old man what he was actually doing. While it encouraged the hesitant young man, the old man was in no such need of encouragement. The spirit of enterprise that still flickered within him was indeed his greatest trouble. This example shows how the interpretation of dreams and symbols largely depends on the individual circumstances of the dreamer and the condition of his mind. To find your personal associations, look at the image in the left-hand column and ask yourself, what words or ideas come to mind about this image? What feelings do I have about this image? Write down each association that comes directly from the image. Write down as many associations as possible. At this stage of the process, keep in mind that the image has everything it needs, so allow the meaning to emerge. Make sure that you are making direct associations. A direct association is when you look at the image. Let's take a stomach as an example. Your direct association with a stomach could be that it is something that digests, consumes, hungers, and needs to be fed. Chain associations are when we make connections with the associations rather than the original image. In other words, you make your first association and then make another association to that association and then another association to that one. For example, if we look at the image, the stomach, a chain association could look something like hunger. I was always hungry as a child. We were so poor that we had nothing to eat. I felt lonely, abandoned, not cared for, unwanted. You can see that chain associations lead you further and further away from the original image. Here Jung warns us. One of the lesser dangers is that the procedure may not lead to any positive result, since it is easily passed over to the so-called free association of Freud's, where the patient gets caught in the sterile circle of his own complexes, from which he is, in any case, unable to escape. Another danger to be avoided is turning to dream dictionaries or to Google dream symbols. Your psyche is using images that hold a specific meaning for you. Here, Jung reminds us, no dream symbol can be separated from the individual who dreams it. Each individual varies so much in the way that his unconscious complements or compensates his conscious mind that it is impossible to be sure how far dreams and their symbols can be classified at all. That is why this step is so important. It is vital that you discover and learn the language of your unconscious and the meaning it is conveying for you in your own unique library of symbols. From time to time, you will find yourself drawing a complete blank on associations. Then turn to the objective association, to the symbol. From my experience, the objective association brings with it new insights, ideas, and imagery. When working with the objective associations, you can use questions such as, what is its definition? What is it used for? What is its function? What does it do? What are its qualities or characteristics or behavior or instincts? Application. Identify the images and find the associations for the active imagination you conducted last week. And that's the end of Module 4. I'll see you again in 2 weeks' time for Module 5.